Thanks for checking out this weekly Sunday message from Carrollton UMC. We pray that God will use this to speak to you and help you grow in faith. We invite you to join us this Sunday at our 10:30 a.m. one-hour service in person at our location in Uptown New Orleans, or live online on our YouTube channel or Facebook page. To learn more about Carrollton, please visit carrolltonumc.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew. It is Matthew 16, verses 22 through 24. And the beginning of this section is Jesus predicts his death, but we're going to move into the section just a little bit when he's talking to Peter. And Peter takes him, it's Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." The word of God for us, the people of God, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in all ways, for you are our rock and our ever-present Redeemer. Amen. When I was going to do a highway today, initially I started to look up pictures, and you get pictures of highways and mountains, but I wanted to do something that was a little more familiar to us. This highway, which, what is the heaven at the end of this highway? Crawfish. At Atchafalaya Basin. Has anyone had crawfish yet this year? No. Sinners, all of you. I'm sorry. Were they good? That's all that matters. I'm waiting for mine. But we have gone through 4 weeks now of basic tenets of Christianity, the Back Pocket Sermon Series. And we started with, on week one, this idea of good people, that we have this notion, sometimes we call ourselves good people and evaluate other people as good people, we're ranking people, and that there are dangers in that, and that Jesus has told us, he admonishes us, he says, look, only God is good. And scripture says that we all fall short of the glory of God, and we're not supposed to be judging other people. It didn't say just don't judge them if you think they're bad. It says don't judge them at all. And as a follow-up to that, our second week, we discussed how our good works do not net us or earn us salvation. Instead, salvation is a gift given freely from God. And last week, Pastor Tiffany tackled prayer and how to pray. So here in week four of the Back Pocket Sermon Series, we're going to address a topic that I don't think is particularly controversial, but I think it's difficult sometimes to put into practice. The idea that in our deciding what is the right course of action for ourselves, it's never supposed to be about us. It's all about Jesus and following Jesus' rules and Jesus' teachings and Jesus' ways, which when you glean that from the scripture that we just read, where he's talking to Peter and the disciples, it's clearly more than just following the Ten Commandments. Now, we like the Ten Commandments because it says things like, don't steal. And that's easy enough for most people to follow. But today, Jesus tells us that in following him, we not only have to deny ourselves, but we have to take up our cross. And he's telling us we literally have to die to ourselves. That means that following Jesus is not just some sort of overlay on our life, it is to be our life. We need to see our whole lives, the good times and the bad times, through the frame, like a picture frame around our life, see our lives through the frame that is our faith in Jesus. And therefore, ultimately, we see our whole lives through the frame of Jesus. And I thought, imagine if Jesus was the frame around your life. What would be contained in the frame be good art? Now, before we get too far into this thinking, God, this is starting to sound a little depressing, remember that Jesus stated that one of the principal purposes that he came to join us here on this earth is to bring us joy. In John 15, Jesus, right after explaining to the disciples how he is the vine and we are the branches, and as branches, we can do nothing without the vine, he says this, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love." He says, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Now, for most of us these days, when we think about the concept of joy, we think about happiness. In the Greek, though, the word for joy, chara, C-H-A-R-A, means joy, gladness, cheerfulness, and calm delight. Now, the word happy is used very infrequently in the Bible. In fact, Jesus uses it only once in John 13, right after he washed the disciples' feet. But this concept of joy, being joyous or joyful, is used hundreds of times in Scripture, and Jesus uses it a lot as well in different conversations. Biblically, joy is completely different from happiness. In particular, this notion of calm delight, it connotes steadiness. It connotes maturity. It's not often related to the short-lived, sometimes squealing delight that is more commonly associated with being happy. This calm delight is not dependent on our circumstances. This calm delight, this joy, cannot be taken away. C.S. Lewis said this about joy. He says, "Joy is distinct not only from pleasure in general, but even from aesthetic pleasure. It's never a possession, but it's always a desire for something longer ago or farther away still or about to be. It is a byproduct. The very existence of joy presupposes that you desire not it, that is, you don't desire joy per se, but you desire something other and outer." But what C.S. Lewis is saying here in part is that the anticipation component of joy, the hope for something, is in fact joy as well. Sort of like the child at Christmas, looking forward to opening gifts. That's sometimes almost as good, maybe sometimes even better than actually sitting there with the unwrapped presents. And in that longing lies hope and promise and a light at the end of the tunnel that makes the present circumstances a condition of joy, whether the circumstances are good times or bad times. Having that joy is evidence of a faith in Jesus Christ, which or who is the object of our joy, and no one can take that away from you. And so as we approach life with this understanding that denying ourselves and picking up our cross and following Jesus is indeed what will give us that permanent feeling of peace, the peace that we talk about that passes all understanding, the inner calmness, the joy we want, what's the problem? Because most of us, I suspect, can say that we're not at that spot that Jesus is talking about, or at least there's a lot of times we're not at that spot. And I think the problem or the difficulty lies with being able to purposefully focus and work hard enough that we recognize instantly when we are living that other life. And by this, I'm not talking about what you think about other people's lives. We routinely decide that this one or that one has a problem, or this one has a practice I don't like, or that practice. The practices of persons around you may indeed be stumbling blocks for them. And then maybe they aren't. Certainly we can get involved with helping other people in their journey and struggle. That's part of the purpose of the church, which is next week's sermon. And we can all help each other overcome our demons that separate us from Jesus. But today's exercise is about figuring out for ourselves where we miss the mark. Today is about taming the desire to be in two places at once, being fully engaged for Jesus, the great I am, while fighting the urge to also be fully consumed for the great me is, because I think I know better for myself. We know that we can't be in two places at one time. We have to make a choice. So in the scripture we read this morning, Jesus has just begun to invite the disciples into the knowledge of all the terrible things that are about to happen to Jesus. And Peter, completely pledging 100% of his allegiance for Jesus, reacts with force, and he stands his ground. Note, he's standing his ground and not necessarily Jesus' ground. And Jesus responds with equal force and instructs the disciples they have to make a choice. He says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. The disciples logically cannot seek both what is divine and what is human. They must deny themselves of one of those thoughts. And it's not just a mental decision, a choice between two options. It's a decision of the heart. Jesus is asking the disciples, what is the desire of your heart? And by extension, he's asking us, what is the desire of our hearts? Surrendering control requires us to release our desires that run counter to a search for Jesus. Jesus asks, does your heart long to come after me? Because that's where you're going to find the lasting joy that you seek. The disciples had to make a choice. They could not follow Jesus and follow themselves at the same time. That would be the equivalent of having two different maps to two different places and trying to follow both at the same time. It just cannot be done. So the exercise coming out of today's message is you have got to find this out for yourself. Where have you drawn that line in the sand on your willingness to deny yourself and to surrender yourself completely to Jesus? Now, you don't have to figure this out all on your own. Again, that's where the church comes in and your church friends come in and can assist. Although parenthetically, it's hard to imagine how someone who's not engaged in church, in worshiping God regularly, in reading scripture, and studying Jesus, can possibly advise you on this matter of heart, soul, and Christ. But ultimately, the important part is you need to make your own decision. You need to figure this out for yourself. And once you make the decision to give it all up for Jesus, it is then that you will live in the awareness of the greater reality. It is then that you will have the joy that we are discussing, and not just intermittent happiness, but persisting peace and persisting calmness, because you will not only know where you are ultimately headed to eternal life in heaven with Jesus, but you will be fully connected on how you are getting there. Let us pray. God, you have never foreclosed any opportunity for us to follow you, yet we continually block the path, draw lines in the sand, insert ourselves in between what is your will and our will. Lord, help us to break down those barriers, to be ever receptive to you, to pray to you, to read your scripture, to ask for divine understanding so that we can take all of that, Lord, and weave it into our lives and make it our life, not just some sort of overlay or a lens, Lord, but truly the frame around our life, and help our life to reflect what that frame looks like. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.